This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. All right, everybody, this is the Man Therapy Podcast. His name is Kyle. My name is Dan. And together, we are one in the same.
It feels so good.
Yeah. It came out weird.
Dude, I think it came out just exactly how it needed to.
Exactly. Kyle, how you been, dude?
I've been good. Life's good. Life's really busy and really good. Winter this year actually hit. And so we have real snow and real snow blowing and real sledding. We're in Iowa, and our past number of winters have just been total duds for snow. Yeah. Last year, I don't think we even got snow until mid-January. When we do get snow, it hasn't been good snow. The kids haven't been able to sled. It's been too windy. Yep. It's just been a bunch of bullshit. This winter's been a lot more fun because we can actually sled, and the kids like it, and it's not insanely cold or windy. So if it's gonna be winter, I want usable snow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fact. I'll tell you this. It's funny. In our town, other than kind of right in front of your house, there's not a lot of hills other than like a big cornfield that has all the stubble in it. And you can't really sled down that. But like the kids we have on our street, we have the steep driveway. So
yeah,
the kids just slide down our driveway on the ice that's there. And so they're making use of whatever kind of incline and decline that they can find.
Kids are resourceful. I love it. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough yet to like make a snow fort and make like, you know, tunnels and stuff.
We don't have enough yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't been sticky.
But I look forward to that too. I love making a good snow fort.
Yeah.
Having a good snowball fight. Oh man.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I had a fun memory of when I was a kid. I grew up on a farm and on a gravel road. And what we would do for snowball fights is we basically each make a fort across the driveway from each other in the ditch. So there's tons of snow in the ditches. So we'd be in the ditch, digging, making our wall, throwing snowballs, all the stuff. And we were real little, and I found a dead squirrel, and it was frozen solid, and we just thought that was the funniest thing ever, and it just became like our little mascot, and other teams trying to knock it over. I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah, dude,
then
you did the
same
thing.
I got into a snowball fight with if there's any neighbors on a farm, like they're less than a mile, they're about a mile away from our farm, and a really nice guy, but he's probably 5 years older than me, maybe even older than that, and I got into a snowball fight with him, and man, I will never forget. He blasted me in the face with an ice bolt. And I just mean, like, I think I saw what freaking boxers see when they just get destroyed and knocked out. I was just like, this thing just coming straight at me, and then just my whole world just went gray. It's like, whoa. He annihilated me. I've never been destroyed like that.
I, dude, we, would have some really intense snowball fights on our street. And we would split up into teams. And so, like, I lived in a neighborhood where there was me and my brother on the house side of the street. And across the street was a trailer court. And that's where all, like, the Loatians lived. And so we would split up into teams. And the Loatians would always take it to, like, the next level. I'm not trying to, like, say, like, don't dig into this conversation, because this is what a kid remembers, right? Like, about race or anything. But they would always put rocks in their snowballs. Like, because on our street, when you would come out of the trailer court was gravel roads and our street. So they would, like, that all the big piles would have rocks in them, and they would make sure.
Yeah.
And I was guilty of it too. Packing it up with a rock in it. Wham. Dude, so many kids would leave our snowball fights crying or hurt or injured. And we would play, like, this game, King of the Mountain, on the big snow piles. And we were just like, body slam. I'm surprised kids just didn't get paralyzed. I don't know.
Right.
Those were the good old days, I guess. Right.
Oh, King of the Mountain. I forgot about King of the Mountain. That is so fun.
Yep. King of the Mountain. All right. Where's your stress level? Where's your stress level right now for Christmas and shopping and
upcoming? Honestly, like, pretty darn good. Christmas is in, like, 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, actually. And my stress level is pretty good. I got a little bit more on top of my own Christmas shopping this year, which I don't have to do a ton. Big shout out to my wife for doing, like, the vast majority of all of it and all of the thinking. But one thing that I do that I think has helped quite a bit is, I started doing this a few years ago. I keep a Christmas list going all year. And the second Christmas is over this year, I start Christmas lists for everybody in my family. And then all year long, I'm just paying attention to, like, oh, what are they interested in? What might they be into? Yeah. What might they want? What have they mentioned? What they say they liked? And I'm just constantly all year making this list so that at the end of the year, when it comes time to, like, start getting stuff, I've already got all these ideas, because I've been 2 years behind the eight ball. And we've got lots of relatives, you know, aunts and uncles and cousins and all different sides of the family. So then everybody's like, what do your kids want? Well, it's really hard to come up with, like, 15 different things so that you don't tell like these aunts and uncles the same thing. And so that's a thing that I did that helped a ton, a year long Christmas list.
Yeah. I'm the guy who, well, I give some ideas, right? But I get ideas from the kids and I communicate with my wife, but my wife does almost 100% of the shopping. I was pretty frustrated with my wife last weekend. It's one of those times where you just let it ride out, right? Cause you don't want to cause any problems or anything. But I said, okay, let's make some me and you time. All right. Me and you are going to go out. We're going to go do shopping. We're going to go to the mall. We're going to look for stuff. I thought we were looking for stuff for the kids. She spent almost the whole time, like, shopping for herself and buying stuff for herself. And I was just like, ugh. But it's one of those times where you're just like, okay, I am not going to say anything. And I'm just here. I'm just along for the ride at this point right now.
Yep.
But
probably a wise decision.
Yeah. So I let that ride out. I thought we were going to, like, the reason why I wanted to do this, cause I thought we needed some time by ourselves, right? Like, let's get some time where it's just me and her. And then at the end of this whole thing, I was really set on, because we quit drinking, right? We don't go to bars or anything anymore. She always says, hey, we need to go out for some apps sometime. And so I wanted to get out and go and get some apps.
Yeah.
But that got canceled because we had to go pick something up from Facebook Marketplace in a different town. And I was a little, dude, I was bummed. I was a little bummed. Like, I was really looking forward to those apps.
Yeah.
Right. And sitting and hanging with her for a little bit. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. But it's one of those things where, you know, you just like, fuck it, dude. I don't want to cause any shit. Like, Because if you, the second you speak up, it just ruins everything.
You ruin it. Yeah, exactly.
You ruin it. Right.
Yep.
And so I just let it ride out, dude. And so I'm hoping we'll get to the app someday, but, yeah, anyway, but I'm that guy who I'll bring the ideas to the table, but I just transfer the money into the account and then that's what it is. Now, I'm going to say one more thing that frustrated me.
Let's hear it.
I like to go out and put thought into gifts.
Okay.
Right. I like to surprise people with things. Like, for example, anytime there's been a couple times where I've given my wife a gift for like a Christmas or a birthday present where it's like, we've gone to Colorado, the two of us, we've gone to Nashville, we've gone to Napa Valley, we've gone to Portland, south of Portland, there's a wine region there, not Portland, that place is a shithole, but you know, like those types of places. And I've surprised her. And so this year I was like, she mentioned she wants a new kitchen table and chairs.
Oh.
And so I have been trying to take the steps to look for something and get her something.
Yeah.
But she kind of, in conversation, she's like, all I want is a table and chairs. And I said, I'm working on it. And she's like, well, I want you to communicate with me on what you get, because I have an idea of what I want. And I'm just like, well, that's no fun.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm just buying you something. It's not a gift at that point. It's just like, hey, I want this. So ultimately, that's going to be ruined too. And it's just going to be me buying something that she picks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that thing, because that makes me feel like a bitch.
I feel for you, buddy. I feel for you, buddy. No, I think, I think you're conflating being a bitch with having a soft heart for your wife. I think that's, I think it's awesome that you have a soft heart for your wife and that you want to do something cool for her. So when I say, oh, it's like, no, it's, I think it's fucking cool when a masculine man actually has a soft place for his wife.
Yeah.
So that's good. So you and I just see that a little differently.
Yeah. You're probably right. Maybe I'm just feeling sorry for myself. I just buy her the kitchen table. You know, buy her happiness, right? Just throw money at happiness. And
well, some people,
I think some people would be okay with that.
I think so too. And you might just have to you might have to find something else. I think you have to start getting creative when stuff starts falling apart like that. You just have to get creative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially right. it's like you chose a thing that could have gotten brought up. Like she wants a new table. You could choose something that wouldn't get brought up or that hasn't got brought up yet.
Yeah.
My wife always wants jewelry, and I've told her straight to her face, like, I'm never buying you another piece of jewelry for the rest of our lives. Cause I've bought her things before, and she'll describe in detail exactly what she wants, and I'll go out and find it, or I'll surprise her with something that I know that she would like. And every time she's been like, oh, thanks. And then we return it and put that money towards something that she wants better.
Oh,
and so I'm like,
as far as the jewelry,
she's returned every piece of jewelry I've gotten her. And this isn't cheap stuff. She's returned every single piece of jewelry I've ever bought her, except for her wedding ring, and exchange it for something else. It's like, oh, well, this is not special to me. I'm not doing this ever again. So I told her I'm never.
You might as well just get her a gift card to a jewelry store.
Yeah.
And being like, there you go. Well, this is so, like, I'm just thinking about you so much when I give you this. Like, I care so much. Like,
exactly. Dude, yeah.
I just like, I'm not into gift giving. I don't know why. I'm into giving me and time and energy. And I just think, like, if someone has to be happy through a gift and that's how you're getting judged. Like, dude, I had a friend. This was a long time ago. When he proposed to his wife, she said, oh my God, yes, I love this, but we got to do something about this ring. Dude, are you fucking kidding me, dude?
That's a red flag in my book.
Dude, like, you read my mind. Like, we do got to do something about that ring. Let me just take that back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Needless to say, I don't think that relationship worked out
very well.
And it's like, wait a second. I thought we loved each other and that's why we're getting married. Right. Now it's like, oh my God, imagine. And then how do you feel as the girl being 100% okay with that? Saying something like that.
Seriously. Right? Seriously.
Oh my God.
Yuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Disgusting. So yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not into gift giving. I especially in Christmas, because my parents were divorced, and I believe I've mentioned this before, but my parents were divorced and we didn't have huge Christmases. It was all about the family aspect of it. A big dinner, playing with cousins, playing cards, playing at the farm, you know, just having a real good time. And yes, as kids, we were really excited about the present time of it, but it was like socks and underwear and maybe a little Etch-a-Sketch or some shit like that, you know? Yeah. And it was like your typically late 80s, early 90s toys.
Oh,
I can remember when my stepmom, before they were even dating, she bought me and my brother a Sega Genesis.
Whoa.
And we're just like, what? She's trying to win our love. Yeah. Right. Like, and it worked. Right. So, and it worked. So
well done.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I just, dude, I've never been the gift guy. And it just like, I get stressed out when you're sitting there going, all right, we're going to spend this much money on something that the kids, but I will say this, my wife this year has been really thoughtful about putting a lot of energy into the amount of gifts and what kind of gifts the kids are getting, stuff that they'll actually use. It's cool, but they'll use it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. My wife and I had a similar conversation of, let's not just get more stuff that's just going to be in the house and then we get rid of it. Because my wife has a big heart and she wants Christmas to feel exciting to them and feel impressive and want to have like a pile of presents, and you know exactly where that's going. You just end up with just like random junk that they don't even play with. And it's like, you know, half the stuff last year, I was like, God, we shouldn't even be doing this. They're not even going to ever play with this. And then sure enough, they didn't. Like, I'd rather we're going to spend the money fine, but I'd rather put it into stuff that I know that they'll use. So my wife's being more purposeful about that too. I'm curious, go ahead, finish your thought.
No, you finish it.
Do you have like a favorite Christmas present from when you were a kid? Can you think of any Christmas presents that you were like, when you saw it, you're like, your eyes lit up and you're like, whoa, or like one that you just like played with a shit ton?
Oh yeah, dude. My dad bought me and my brother the first Nintendo.
That's a good Christmas present.
Duck Hunt, and it had Mario Brothers in it, and it came with the gun for the Duck Hunt. Dude, that was huge to us.
Iconic,
right? Dude, and so seriously, me and my brother, we would literally sit. Do you remember back in the day playing video games for so long, like your energy was drained, and you're like, I can't do this anymore, but you still have to beat level 10 on Zelda or whatever the hell we were playing, you know? And it was just like, holy shit. Yeah, man, that I remember getting a BB gun one year from my dad. And actually that was from Santa, but that had my dad's handwriting on it. It was like to Daniel from Santa. And I'm like, this weird. Santa stopped at mom and dad's house this year. And Santa has two different handwritings. Seems weird. Yeah. And that's when I just played along for the next couple of years. And then,
That was the year you pieced it together.
Yep. Somewhere around 1987, 88.
I don't remember when I pieced it together. But I do remember like, one year I got a set of micro machines.
Yeah.
Remember the micro machines, little cars and the little box unfolded into like a whole city. And that was awesome. I loved that. And then, Legos, like I got a couple of like two on separate years. I got two of my all-time favorite Lego sets, and I just, dude, I fucking played with those things so much. Yep. And then, like, you know, tear them down, build new things, but then, like, later in life, like, try to rebuild the original set. And, like, your kids are into Legos, right?
Yeah, Knox, my youngest, he's heavy into Legos. But he gets the type of Legos now where they become decoration, where he builds this car and it's really not playable. It's like next level Legos. It's not like the Legos that we would get where it was like the engineering behind the design was just like, all right, we're going to take this square and turn it into an airplane. Right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't what our kids have now, which is like these intricate, small moving pieces of things. But
the other thing
that pops off. Did you ever watch Masters of the Universe with He-Man?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, dude. So I was a G.I. Joe guy and I was a Masters of the Universe guy when I was a kid. And so two things. One was, I got Castle Grayskull. I got, you know how it opened up and it had all the rooms in it. That was a big one. And then I got, and then for G.I. Joe's, as I got older, I got one of the tanks that seemed ungettable for me because I was like, oh my God, it's so expensive. And I just was like, I really want this tank so I could, then I could have a war between the good guys and the bad guys for G.I. Joe's. Yeah. And dude, I would set up masking tape, like these long ropes made of tape in our house between chairs, and I'd slide the guys down it and they would drop down into forts and shoot everybody. But but the tank, dude, it shot like you push a button and it shot a missile out of it. Like had a spring loaded, shot a missile. Dude, I got that and I about pooped my pants. I was like, Are you kidding me? And so
man, those early G.I. Joe vehicles were so freaking cool and they were big and they looked real and the G.I. Joe action figures were cool too. Yeah. Man, our close friends, the Bittermans, our moms were best friends. And then they had three boys. So it's me and two brothers. I'm the middle. And then they had three boys that we were all like the same ages. So we were just thick as thieves and we'd go over there and play all the time. And dude, they had a bunch of G.I. Joe vehicles. And you know, like the airplanes are like huge. The airplanes are like 2 or 3 feet long, and all the like the guns actually worked, and the spring loaded rockets, and all the stuff. And it was like, holy shit, those toys were cool. Our poor kids don't know about that stuff.
No, all those they know about is, hey, I want Knox, my youngest again. He's like, hey, I want a Roblox gift card. And I looked him right in his face. I go, you are not getting that gift card. It's, you know, for some game online. And I'm just like, no, not going to happen. Like me and my wife are really adamant. We are not going to support those types of gifts anymore. Even like telling grandparents and people like no gift cards to video games, no new video games. You know, if it's online, they can play it online, you know, when they get their device time. But other than that, dude, everything we're trying to do is get them away from that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. No value in that shit.
No, not at all. And it's just
video games to me, like real video games are cool, but I don't feel like my kids aren't even interested in real video games. What I mean by that is like Roblox is so dumb. It's dumb games with horrible graphics and no point. They never end. There's no challenge. It's just they just want to get you on and keep you on, and they want to get you spending money. That's bullshit. Yep. A real video game is like, all right, here's your character. Here's the story. Here's the challenge. You have to try really hard to do this. You have to use your brain to figure this out. If you don't get there, then you fall short, and then you have to restart. Like, I like all that shit, but dude, my kids don't want to play that. That sucks.
Because they don't like losing.
Because I actually think, I know there's too much like, you can pay to upgrade. Like you used to have to earn all your upgrades. Now you can pay to upgrade. It used to be that you'd have to like man, you would grind so hard to get to level 10 or whatever. And if you fell short, like, you'd have to start over from the beginning. Or if there was a save point, it like, it wasn't super convenient. Like it would, you couldn't always just pick up right where you left off.
Yeah.
I think video games have taken a nosedive. For little kids, I think there are still good video games out there, but the Roblox shit has just killed it.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Yeah, buddy. All right.
Gross.
Should we start talking about other stuff, or do you want to continue talking about this stuff? This stuff's fun. So the last time that we talked, the last episode, me and you, we kind of went over, we had a guest on two episodes ago, and it was a marriage counselor and life coach and things like that. And we talked about, some of the things that she went over and some of the things that, that she, you know, would talk about, or a lot of her clients were men and some of those things. Give us like a very high level brief overview one more time of what she talked about. That way we can then pivot into what we feel the alternate of what she said would potentially be.
Okay. Okay. So we basically talked about the idea that parents need to be together as a united front, and that the kids can't be the center of the universe. That both parents need to be contributing, because we're both contributing to the well we're both drinking from. So if one person's not pulling their weight, that's poisoning the whole relationship. We talked about how when there are problems in relationships, that we need to focus on workability and not just like how I wish things were and how you wish things were, but we really need to focus on what could actually be done here and what's workable. One main theme was getting the husband and wife back in the center. And when couples have drifted apart, and that could be like more like going to looking more like roommates or something. But when husbands and wives have kind of drifted, one way to come back together is to look at the pain points and ask your partner where they're struggling, and then think about how you can support them in that. Because just asking for them to do more of what you want just feels like more of a, just another burden on top of everything else that they're already doing, that there's a chance that they want to be doing the things that you want, but they're just so they've for however much time they've just gotten down their own path of their own stress. So looking at pain points and basically saying like, what can I do for you? Like each person asking, what can I do for you? And then using those to come back together and getting the husband and wife in the center and not the kids. And then also generally speaking for parents to give themselves grace and recognize that we're growing alongside our kids. You know, we've never been the parents of these children at these ages before, and that we shouldn't expect ourselves to be to always be doing things perfectly and knowing exactly what to do. One neat thing that I thought that she said a lot of insightful stuff. One of my favorite things that she talked about was this concept that when you're dating, your relationship is an escape. And it's fun and it's exciting. Yep. And then when you're married, it's just your life, and it's not an escape anymore. And so the idea is, like she said, to do some new things together. So, you know, she was even saying it's cool to plan date nights and stuff, but if you're just doing the same old things that you do for date night, like that doesn't even feel all that novel. But if you could do date nights or find time together and do new things, that it's more about shared experiences, especially ones that are new, than just time. So it's like, oh, if we go on a date and we go to the same restaurant that we always go to, like, okay, cool. And then maybe we end up bitching about the kids. Like, that really wasn't much of an exciting break. But if you can find something like an activity to go do with your partner that you're both experiencing for the first time, that you're both going like, whoa, that's fun, and nudging each other and like, isn't this awesome? Like, that sort of thing is actually what's reviving to a relationship. And I thought that was insightful, because that's a twist on date night, on the classic advice of like, oh, just make sure you incorporate date night. I liked that twist on that, that like, no, it can't just be date night. It needs to be fun. It needs to be new. It needs to be a new shared experience that you're both kind of oohing and aahing over rather than just, oh yeah, we went out to dinner at that place that we like. Yeah. Yep. And then another thing that I liked that she said, she asked this question, or she encouraged people to ask the question, if I were married to me, would I like it?
Yeah.
And am I taking care of me? And I've been, since we met with her, I've been trying to keep that question in mind. 'Cause in my head, like, everything that I think and say and do makes total sense. And I think I'm totally justified when I'm grumpy or irritated or like, oh, you shouldn't do that, or be careful with that, or like all those things. But I'm trying to pay attention to, like, what does my face look like? And what's my tone of voice sound like? And am I being the police officer at home policing where dirty dishes are, or if kids are making a mess, or am I like fun to be around? And I've been trying to be a little more fun to be around. That's kind of the broad overview. What jumps out at you from all that?
Well, eventually what I want to get into is, what do you think a male, and maybe we can't answer that until we actually have a male, a man.
Which I've been thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah. A man, marriage counselor on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this whole idea of 50-50, of both people trying to contribute 50%, I've, in theory, awesome. If both people just went out and was like, yeah, dude, I'm giving energy to you, you're giving energy to me, it's perfect. But that's bullshit, dude. That's bullshit. There's always somebody, whether it is on a daily basis, weekly basis, or just overall in a marriage, there's always somebody who is giving more energy and somebody else who requires more energy.
Totally.
In a relationship. And that's an individual thing. Like, I like that idea of would I like me if, but my wife is not me, right? I have a different set of needs and wants than what she has, right?
Yep.
First off, I'm a man. Second off, she's a woman. And you think in any way, shape or form, are those two things, are we alike? The answer is no, right? And so, you know, maybe some of our values are the same, but what we require in a relationship are two completely different things. So if I look at myself and try to think, like, what do you think my wife would want? I don't know. And if I did know, I'd write a book and make $1 billion fucking dollars. Okay. But I have no idea what she wants. The only way a person finds that out is if there is two lines of open communication. And usually there's not, because either one person doesn't want to talk about it, or one person doesn't want to hear it or listen to it. Right. And so then usually what you have is one person just like going through the motions at that point, just to avoid conflict, or one person who's always so frustrated that they want, it's like, it's always conflict. And I'm not saying that's what is happening in my world, but that's just what I feel is happening. And so, you know, like you scroll, right? I'm guilty of this. And because my algorithm has changed ever since we started this podcast, so I'm getting people on my algorithms who are talking about like, hey, you should maybe try this or try this or try this. Yeah. And that's great as a blanket statement, 10,000 foot view of any relationship. And the one that cracked me up yesterday was, you know, hey, you know, if you and your wife are having trouble, you should try to schedule some sex. And I just fucking laughed at that. I'm like, are you kidding me? You think if my wife's not in the mood to have sex with me, do you think a clock or a calendar reminder is just going to automatically get her in the mood to where she's going to want to have sex?
Right.
Not realistic at all. So I feel, and this is no disrespect to the people who are doing these types of things or Leanne, but I feel like some of these things are just completely unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I'm not saying her, but I'm saying like some of the things you hear are just like, they're just, it's like, hey, you should try this, try this. That's going to maybe work for that individual person, but, and maybe it's something that you can try and that it would work in your relationship. But yeah, like I look at some of these things and suggestions and, hey, maybe you should try this and try this. It doesn't seem realistic. And when you talk to anybody who is in this real world, I'm going to say, where the wife works, the man works, they have multiple kids who are in activities and they're on the go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's like, to me, it's got to be what works for the two of them to close the gap. The one thing I will agree on is that the foundation of the family and the relationship has to be the man and the woman, the marriage. It has to be. Because if it's not, then everything else around it fails. And there's times where the foundation seems good, but it's just a mask to get things done throughout the day. You know what I mean? It's going through the motions to avoid conflict or to avoid certain things, but that doesn't equate to happiness. I went on a long rant there.
Good. That's good. That's what we're doing.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So first of all, I think that everything that you said is valid, and I bet there's a lot of people that feel exactly the way that you feel. I think that you're right, that what's right for one person or one couple isn't necessarily right for the next. And each couple's going to have to figure out what their solution is. I also agree that marriage is almost never 50-50. You know, I'm like so many people, an ordained minister via whatever silly thing online, but I've done a bunch of weddings, and part of the thing that I say in my wedding ceremonies is exactly that marriage isn't 50-50, it's 100-100. But everybody's 100% looks different every day. And what I mean by 100-100 is like, I'm doing my best today, and that might not be very much, but I'll give you everything I have. And then you're like, I got you, Kyle. Like, I'll give 100% too. And luckily I have more than that. I have quite a bit to give today. So I think relationships work best when everybody is trying their hardest. It's just, it looks different every day. So yeah. I think 100-100 is more accurate. It's just, it looks a little different.
I like that. The frustration then becomes is, let's say, for example, I don't know what the deal is. Let's just go to like a traditional old school view on marriage, right? Where the man comes home from work and the dinner's on the table. And 90% of the time, like every day the dinner's on the table, but then the wife gets real busy. She gets sick, something else. And this is just an example. Right. Dinner's not on the table. And then that very small occurrence causes frustration because it's like, hey man, you're not holding up to your end of the bargain. Right. Or let's just say like in our house, I'm trying to think of an example.
Maybe sticking with that example, would you say in that situation that would be a time for the guy to step up and say, hey, like, I can tell you whatever you have, like, I'll take care of dinner. Don't even worry about it. I know that you care. I know that you didn't slack off. I know you just got busy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. But it's the attitude there. The attitude is what is very important. So if you recognize that someone does do a lot of good things in the household and they're doing a lot of things, and all of a sudden now you have to do that, don't complain about it. Just do it. Like, yeah. I am a firm believer where there's times where and this is just life in general, you got to do shit you don't want to do, man.
Yeah.
And I call it eating a shit sandwich, right? Yeah. And what's that mean? That means taking a bite of a turd and then doing it with a smile on your face, knowing that you're supporting the greater good, whether that is on a business or in a relationship, and you're just doing it. right? It's just like, I don't like doing laundry. I don't like cleaning the kitchen. I don't like, you know, vacuuming and dusting. But guess what? It needs to be done. And if it's not done, then your house looks like an episode of Hoarders and you got child services knocking at your door, right?
Yeah.
So I hope it never gets that bad for us. But that's the thing. It's like everybody gets into this. Well, I did this. You did this. I've been doing this. And I've been guilty of that, man. In the past, I've been guilty of that. And so one thing I personally have tried to work on is just move forward. Every day, move forward and try to do the best that you can. And if someone's unhappy with that, you communicate a little bit, or you just say, hey, man, I tried my hardest, and then you keep moving forward.
Right. Right. I'm with you. I like that. You know, I think that the immediate family is probably about the only place in the world that communism works. It's from each according to their ability, to each according to their need. It's like, I'll do everything I can, and I'll actually be totally okay with that as long as I feel like you're doing everything you can too. The problems arise when one or the other person thinks the other's not doing everything they can. Luckily my wife is extremely hardworking, but if I was over functioning and she was, you know, sitting on the couch with her feet up eating bonbons the majority of the time, I would get irritated by that. But like, she's, you know, running herself ragged, trying to take care of the family. And so then I'm like, I'm totally willing to match that. I'll do everything I can too. Then if something's not perfect or falls through the cracks, like, I don't even begrudge her, because I know that she wasn't just relaxing. I know it's pretty rare actually that she sits down and kicks her feet up. So, you know, if the house doesn't look perfect, or if the floor's not swept, or if the countertops not wiped down, like, I don't get mad at her about that. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you've been working your ass off. So I think that you should build a lot of respect that way.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with understanding a day, like understanding what happens in a given day. So like, one thing that is my pet peeve is when it is okay to ignore something for X period of time, but then get really worked up about it, to the point where it's just like, well, instead of dedicating 4 hours to doing something one day, if we spent 30 minutes or 10 minutes every day doing it, then that problem is now solved. If we slowly chip away at something every day and understand, like, you know, I love my wife. And then on Saturdays, usually we spend a lot of time usually cleaning the house, like dusting, vacuuming, doing the, you know, organizing. And then the house is pristine, but only for about 15 minutes, because I have to just like remind myself and her sometimes, like, hey, listen, 5 people live here. This isn't going to be the cover of Better Homes and Gardens.
Right.
You know,
right.
5 people live here, and 2 of them probably need to live in a kennel, right? They're wild. They're wild animals, right?
Right.
And so like the other day, we were looking for the remote downstairs, and I lifted up a couch cushion.
Oh God, and that's a mistake. You don't want to see what's under there.
And there was like 10 cookie, like we have these healthy, quote unquote, healthy cookies.
Yeah.
And they're just like stuffed down in there. And I brought the boys in, I lifted up and I said, hey, listen, what would happen if mom found this and not me? And they're like, well, their brains are mush. And I'm just like, clean this stuff up. Don't ever let it happen again.
Yeah.
And that's when I get frustrated, is because like, I'm trying to deflect a lot of the time, where I'm just like, hey, listen, what happens if mom sees this?
Yeah.
Right. You got to take care of this. You got to grow up a little bit. And
so,
I don't know.
Right. I know that's a funny thing about parenting. Generally speaking, I think there's probably things that our kids are good at. And also I also think it's really normal for the things that you and I will likely be very frustrated with our kids about the entire time that they live with us, that once they start living on their own, they start doing themselves. And we're just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think my, a small example of that, I think my stepdaughter, when she lived at home, you know, it's the classic, like, wherever she sat, like you can tell where she sat because there'll be plates and cups. Like anywhere in the house she was, she'll take food wherever, and wherever she sat, there'll be plates and cups. And then she gets up and just leaves. And then she'll even just leave the house and leave the state, you know? But if you do that at her house, that's not going to fly, you know? Yeah. And in our house, she'll leave, you know, she'll make a mess and just leave it. But at her house, like she keeps her house really nice, you know? So it's like, all the stuff that frustrated us when you were here, you now have, you take on in your own space. And I think that's, to me, that's just part of it. It's just a frustration of, you know, parenthood. You're kind of lucky if you have a kid that like likes to pick up or has good habits around picking up. But yeah, I do think there's some level of frustration we're just going to have to accept as parents.
Right.
But yeah, that couch thing is super funny. So I wanted to go back. Where's my notes at? I wanted to go back to what you said about scheduling sex. That's a thing that I've heard some psychologists and some researchers talk about, this idea of scheduling sex. And what I've learned from that is one reason why scheduling sex can be good is because part of the reason why a female might not want to have sex is because she has lots of things on her mind and she's just generally stressed. And so then the idea of spontaneity, it just stresses her out even more because it's like, I have to be relaxed to be in the mood. I'm never relaxed, so I'm never in the mood. I always have a lot on my mind. So then it never happens spontaneously because it's never a good time. But if she
I want to interrupt 1 second.
Okay.
And this is part of this topic. I'm sorry. Is that fair in a relationship? You know what I mean? Like, is it fair?
Right. I mean, I don't think it's fair. I also don't, like, to me, it points to the idea of, like, we all need to be taking care of ourselves so that we can be our best selves for our partners. And it's like, if I'm so stressed out that I can't participate or engage in that part of our relationship, then that's some me work that I have to do, you know? So I don't think it's fair. I do think it's common, but yeah, I think that's some higher order. That's some higher level stuff, which is figuring out how to manage your life and yourself and take care of yourself well enough that you're not so stressed that you have no interest in your partner.
Yeah.
So no,
I bet you a lot of guys feel that way. And I'm sorry.
I think you're right.
I'm sorry I derailed your thought there.
No, that's okay. I think this is all free form. No, I think I agree. I think a lot of guys feel that way, that it's like, dude, what the hell? How come when we were dating, everything was awesome? And maybe even in the first few years of our marriage, everything was awesome. And now it's turned into like, we're just roommates and you want nothing to do with me. And, you know, I feel sad for, like I've heard, stories of like, the wife doesn't even like doesn't want to change clothes in front of her husband, or like she's nervous every time she gets in the shower because she's like, oh god, the second I turn the shower on, like he's gonna hear it and he's gonna like know that I'm naked, so he's gonna come in. And they're like so annoyed that their partner would want them, and that makes me really sad. And that's too bad. It's too bad for it to have gotten like that. And I don't know, there's probably good research out there about women's psyches, I don't know, but it kind of seems like there's a chance that women use, not on purpose, but use sex to get a partner, and everything's awesome when they're dating. And then once they like have all of the kids that they want to, that the woman doesn't have the same sex drive that they used to. And then that's not that they did it on purpose, but they're just like no longer interested in sex. And there could be, you know, it would be really interesting to be able to just be in the mind of said woman to see like, what does this really feel like for you? Like, how do you, like, you really just have no desire, huh? Which is really hard for us to conceptualize, because, like, dude, I'm 42 years old, but I'm plenty virile, you know? So it's hard to imagine not being that way. So then it's like, well, why aren't you? You know, and I'm not, I'm just speaking generally again, not speaking about my wife specifically. But yeah, so now let me tie that back into what I was going to say about what I've heard psychologists talk about scheduled sex. So if you schedule sex, which, yeah, it's probably less sexy. But there is some honor, I think, in saying like, hey, that this isn't happening naturally. And, if I'm being super honest, I don't even have a drive to do this, but I will make time for this. And so let's sit down and figure out when the best time would be. It can be good because then the woman can anticipate it. Like she can feel clean. She can feel pretty. She can like know that that's coming so she can mentally prepare. And then this is a part that I thought was especially interesting is that for a lot of people, arousal happens after sex has been initiated or after sexy time has been initiated. So I think for a lot of women, they're not horny. That's not to say they don't ever have sexual thoughts, but generally speaking, and maybe the older they get, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, so this isn't all research based, but they're not horny. They're not trying to initiate sex, but if they can schedule time to be intimate with their partner where they know that's what they're doing, they might be like, okay, gosh, oh, I don't even have a lot of time. But once they start doing that they might actually then start getting in the mood. And then they might get into it and then it can be a fun thing. And then they can realize like, oh, that was cool. And then they could be willing to do that again. And then maybe then you have a trickle of that affection and of that physical connection happening. And that's way better than nothing. So I do think there's something to be said for scheduled sex. What are your thoughts about that?
I can see like trying to do that. I'm thinking personally, I don't know if that would necessarily work where I'm at. But in our marriage, I think that would actually cause more stress if it's just like all of a sudden, oh shit, now I gotta worry about this, you know, like that kind of conversation. Yeah. And I honestly don't know if I would like it. It's just like, okay, now it's time to perform. You know what I mean? It's just like automatically, it's like, I just feel like at that point it becomes more about the physicalness of it all and not about the actual connection. And yes, for men, it's easy to get the engine started and take care of business and potentially have that connection, you know, that quote unquote connection. But I just feel like scheduling sex then becomes all about the physical aspect of it and not the actually connecting. Cause believe it or not, don't get me wrong, sex is awesome, but I also care about the other stuff.
Right. The closeness, the affection.
The closeness, the fact that like she's my wife. That's a big thing for me.
Yeah.
She's the mother of my children. That's a big thing for me. And so because of those two things, I have to treat her with a level of respect that, you know, wouldn't happen or maybe didn't happen. I don't know. I'm so far out of any type of conversation about being single that it doesn't make sense to me that you would have with if you were just dating somebody, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's tricky though, because, and it can happen to either partner that they lose their sex drive. But like, when you bring up the word respect, like, what do you do when one person has lost their sex drive? Do you just have to respect that? Do you just say, well, I guess you just don't have that anymore, and so that's just something I'm not going to get anymore? Or do you say, well, I still need this? Like, this is how I get the bonding chemical oxytocin or whatever. And this is how, when we don't share that time, then I don't feel close to you and I feel rejected and unwanted and unseen. And even though maybe all that's true, but maybe you, out of respect, you just trump your own feelings and say, well, I'll just take the data for what it is. You don't have a sex drive. You're not interested in sex. And so let's just take it off the table. We'll just be married without that. We'll have our same relationship, just subtracting physical intimacy.
That's or not an option. I don't think that's an option for men, though. Right? So imagine this.
These two ideas are butting heads then. Like, if she really doesn't have a sex drive, then how can you expect that from her? What if the wife wants to have a sex drive? What if she wishes she had a sex drive? She just mm-hmm. doesn't. What's she supposed to do?
Well, then for me, I look at that and I go, okay, there's something that needs to be addressed. If you're saying, I wish I had a sex drive, I just don't have one. Well, then that's where I feel like a medical professional or a therapist would need to become involved. But if someone is going, I don't want to have sex with you because I don't want to have sex with you. Well, that's right, a deal breaker.
I do have a sex drive. Right? Because, I just don't want you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then that's a deal breaker, right? Like then, because here's what the alternative is, right? And I don't think a lot of people think about what has to happen if for men, right? And this is where, yeah. I'm thinking of just hypothetically, if my wife said to me, nah, I'm done with sex. I'm just done with it. I don't want it anymore. And I would have that why. I would ask the why questions. Yeah. But then I would also be like, well, I personally think that is not holding up your end of the bargain as far as the vows that we took for marriage, mm-hmm. right? And so mm-hmm. if you're like, you're saying no, it's a no-go, dude, then I would be like, well, then that kind of dissolves a big part of why I'm here, right? Let's not kid ourselves. There are things in a marriage that if they're not there, it's probably not a marriage anymore. Whether it's on a piece of paper or it's just like, hey, dude, I get it. If you're 75, 80 years old and you're not having sex, dude, I get that. But if you're 35, 40, 50 years old and there's like your partner is telling you, I don't want to have sex with you, there's a lot of time left in life. Yeah. And so that, then it's acceptable. I would look at it and be like, okay, so I feel good. I work out. Mm-hmm. I eat healthy. Mm-hmm. I don't have the greatest body, but I still got it. You know, I still am virile, like you said.
Yeah.
But you're not going to commit to that. Then how is a man supposed to commit back to you all the things that you want, right? There is a give and take in a marriage.
I hear you. I do think there's a difference between someone that doesn't have a libido and someone that does and is just refusing sex.
Yeah, I agree.
Someone that does have a libido and is refusing sex, I think, is a lot more addressable than someone that just physically just doesn't like, I'm sorry, I don't feel that. And that's, and again, I think that's where the scheduling sex doesn't sound sexy or romantic, but I think when the couple does start initiating, that's when the arousal actually does start happening. Yeah. And I think I think it's pretty common for a woman to think like, oh, geez, this is all just a lot of work when I don't feel it. But once they actually start getting into it, then they're like, oh, this is fun. And then you can start seeing that spark and then that feels good. So, I mean, I would say that scheduling it would be way better than hoping you're going to get it from someone that doesn't even feel like doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and you said, you know, you basically said like that is part of the duty. That is part of the agreement when you get married. Let's say mm-hmm. that we agree on that. If you don't have a sex drive, but you still feel like you owe that to your partner, then you're probably not going to do it very spontaneously.
Right.
You're probably going to like, then I think scheduling is a good option at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I think what happens is we all want to be young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, remember, I'm just trying to think back before kids were born. Right. And just like mm-hmm. how fun that was and how crazy it was. Like my second child, I truly believe was conceived when my daughter was in the kitchen eating breakfast before my wife and I had to go to work. You know what I mean? Right. Like fun, like that's fun shit. And enjoyable for all parties and things like that. And then all of a sudden it's like gone. And I think, and I think this is, it's the change in the seasons of life where people they're used to one thing that has happened for X amount of years, yeah. and then that thing has now changed. And yeah. then either one person, and even financially, it's like, well, we've done this one thing all the time, but now finances have changed, things have gotten more expensive, and now we can't afford that one thing.
Yeah.
And dude, it's just this balancing act for yeah. both parties that yeah. can be really difficult.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And it's tough. I think the topic of sex, I think, is especially difficult because it's really hard to not take it personally. It's really mm-hmm. hard to not personalize it because it is so important.
You're right. You're right. Especially so for the man.
I agree. Yeah. I think it makes it really hard to be understanding of the other person's position.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's kind of a cruel irony that, I don't know if it's irony, it's cruel setup that men tend to use sex as a de-stressor and women tend to want sex when they're relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like this, it's like a tragic comedy because that's just an obvious miss. It's an obvious miss. It's horrible. You know, so it's yeah. like, I'm so stressed and I would like that would really help me connect and relax. And geez, I feel like yeah. life is so stressful and I miss you and I want to connect. And then so like, that's how we want to connect. And they're like, life is so stressful. Like, that's the last thing on my mind. Like, I need to be relaxed before I do that. Well, that's a tragic comedy right there. Things because we just don't ever align in that way.
And then you look at the rest of nature, right? Like. No man and no woman or no male and female other than maybe some birds and some other animals that mate for life. But 99% of all animals, it's just hit it and forget it type of
yeah.
mentality. And yeah. then the women, the females go live in their group and the male is usually solo. Yeah. If he's not like the king of the pride or you know what I mean, where he's in charge and he has a whole bunch of different women, but yeah. I always feel like there's that nature, like the nature is in us, right? But then because we're humans, we play by a different set of rules because we've yeah. become, I don't
social.
Know, what's the, social.
Yeah.
Even like animals are social. But I'm talking about like humanistic where we have
prefrontal rules, cortex.
Right? Like I can't. Go and murder you because I like you're living too close to me. You know yeah. what I mean? Like there's yeah. laws that we've put on ourselves where a lion can go kill another lion and be like, "Hey, dude, you crossed the line, man." So
yeah, and everybody's like, "Yep, that's how that goes."
Yeah,
no, yeah,
it's like
yeah,
the Wild right? West.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, I think there's a lot to that though. We're not too far removed from our ancestors from 10,000 years ago and 100,000 years ago.
Yeah,
that we've made for our own social reasons these binding laws that keep us with yeah. someone forever. I wonder what other mammals, like the female of the species, stops wanting sex after they've had X amount of litters or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't yeah. be surprised if there's plenty of like, you know, aged female mammals out there that are just like, once they've had X amount of offspring, they just turn that off and they're not even, you know, they would turn down every male of their species that tries to come courting or, yeah. or for some reason the male can just like sense the pheromones like, oh, that female's not interested in breeding. And so they just leave them alone. Like, I don't know yeah. the science behind that, but I'm curious about it.
Yeah. It'd be, I don't know why this popped into my head, but if like alligators went through perimenopause.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, seriously. And they're just like, leave me alone.
I'm having hot flashes. Get away from me.
Yeah. Oh, quit breathing on me. You're too hot.
Yeah. Well, and there's also instances where like the praying mantis wants bread will eat the male that, you know, it's like, okay, you just bred it. You did your part. And now you have no other part in this life cycle. It's just to breed. And I don't know, but I understand why in the whitetail world, like deer, they have one breeding season and these animals go wild in the woods and they fight, and they like a white-tailed buck has been known to lose 30 to 40% of its body weight in a 2-month period chasing down potential mates, right?
Right.
Just imagine how society would crumble if humans could only breed out of 1 month a year.
Yeah. Right.
Crazy.
Right. Crazy. So do the males just not have a sex drive for 11 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they just don't, that's just their biology, huh? They just don't even, they're not even trying to have sex for 11 months.
Right. Their testosterone spikes or goes in a big bell curve. Okay. So like, and this is a majority of animals where there's seasonal breeding, where the male, his testosterone is at an all time low, probably in for, I'm just using the whitetail, for example here. Their testosterone is now dropping after the breeding season. And so then their antlers fall off and then they go into a status of like repair where they're eating and getting healthy again and trying to find, like they've spent all their energy looking for a mate. And then there's a little uptick in the summer when their antlers start to grow. And then there's like a light switch moment in their body where their antlers go from soft and growing to hard and ready for battle. And and then what they'll do is they'll like rub trees to get their necks swollen and ready for battle. And then their testosterone peaks in October and November to where they're ready to fight. They're ready to run. Like some of these animals have eyes hanging out of their heads and they're still.
Yeah.
Imagine if I cut your eye out of your socket and then you still were running around at our town chasing Laura, looking for, chasing your wife. Let's go.
I would be too.
With one eye.
Yeah. Oh man. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, another really good conversation. Any final thoughts before we shut her down?
I think I try really hard to lean into giving my wife the benefit of the doubt. And there's a term or an expression, it's eluding me the exact one. I've used it before on here. The most generous, God darn it. What's the exact term? The most generous interpretation. So unless you think the other person is purposefully being shitty to you, then try hard to give them the most generous interpretation of the situation. So it's like, well, if sex isn't happening or if sex isn't happening enough, I could either take that personally and think, oh, she sucks. She doesn't care about me. She's not holding up her end. Or I could think like, wow, what's going on? Wonder what life is like for her. Wonder what she is feeling. If she could flip a switch and feel that way, she probably would, because I bet she doesn't like me hounding her either. Like there must be something there. There's a high likelihood that something really important is happening with her. Something very legitimate is happening with her that she doesn't want to be doing this, because I bet that if she could do some easy change to like get me off her back and make everything awesome, she would. So getting more curious about like, all right, I've got all my preconceived notions of what I think this should be like and how I want things. Like, help me understand like what life is like for you. Help me understand what is it like to be in your head? What's it like to be in your body? How do you feel on a daily basis? What does the idea of sex feel like to you? Under what circumstances do you think you might hypothetically want sex, even if it's like not a way that we could do it right now? But I think getting more curious, utilizing the most generous interpretation, rather than us getting super deep in our feels, which is going to go through many layers of our own bias where we're personalizing things and then getting irritated, because irritation and resentment can build on the husband's end. I think we got to be careful about stewing in our own bias instead of getting curious about what's really going on for our partner.
Yeah. And let's be real here. In a two-person relationship, if there is a problem, you play a role in that problem, right? And so it's kind of piggybacking off what you said. You got to look at yourself too, man. Like, yeah. You got to look at yourself. You're not a sultan in Saudi Arabia who snaps their fingers and all of a sudden a harem comes to you.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Right? You got shit. You got to take care of, man.
Yeah. And no, so, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, also though, like, you know, you said the word earlier, perimenopause, like that's, if your wife is going through perimenopause and like her body is changing and her hormones are changing and she doesn't have a sex drive, like that's not your fault. You didn't necessarily have a part in her perimenopause, 100%. But it might be a thing that I actually really appreciated. You said earlier something like there are different phases in life and life goes through a progression and, you know, you can either get with it or get run over by it basically. Mm-hmm. And so if your wife is going through perimenopause and she at this point, like her body's like, all right, we're shutting down breeding. Yeah. Like you're of an age now that the body's decided you're not having more kids. Then, yeah. then obviously they would lose their sex drive. And then at that point, does it make sense for you to personalize it and say, oh, why don't you want me? So maybe it's like, there's a really good reason and it actually has nothing to do with you. And so then at that point to what the point that you made earlier, what's that mean for your relationship? And maybe maybe you could gracefully and respectfully go into the next stage of the relationship and not have your partner feel like shit that change has happened for them. And then that's not to say that no sexual contact could happen, because the other side of that same coin is like, hey, I hear you. You've got, let's say that you're in perimenopause and you have no sex drive. Fully respect that. I'm not in perimenopause and I still do have a sex drive and we're partnered for the rest of our lives. Like,
yeah.
What do you think can do about this? And maybe she's like, well, let's schedule times to like meet up to do that stuff. And you might go, well, tell you what, that's not like, wouldn't be my first choice, but it actually kind of sounds like that makes sense because you're never in the mood, which isn't your fault. And you don't like when I spring it on you because your mind's on everything else. Cause it's never on sex because you don't have a sex drive anymore. Well, now scheduling sex is actually looking a lot more like a respectful act on her part, that she goes, hey, I don't even feel like doing this, but I love you and I recognize that you need it. So let's find a time to make sure that we do that. So maybe that's actually a kind of a beautiful and respectful thing, even if it is a shift away from the hot and heavy horny days of like, hey, we're both just aroused and we both want each other. And we're like sneaking it in the morning before while one kid's eating breakfast and we're, you know, we're in a different room. It's like, yeah, dude, I think you made a good point that we just, there's a chance that we're X amount of years older than that. And some biological processes have happened that could maybe be pinned more on biology or situational circumstances rather than personal circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great way to shut it down. And we never really talked about the male aspect of it, as far as what we think a male marriage counselor would do. But I think on the next episode, or not next episode, but in the near future, we might have to get a man on to talk about those things.
Oh, I think so. I'm gonna start looking.
Yep. And so, as always, Kyle, thank you for taking time out of your day to hop on and do this. And
love it.
And we're gonna get some more snow, I believe, this weekend, which is gonna be usable snow to where we can do something fun in it. Damn, we got wrestling on the docket. Sports are all over the place. And I'm sending good vibes your way to you and your family and to all those out there who have listened to this and who like this. Go to iTunes or Spotify, wherever you download your podcast. A 5-star review would help us out. Let people know that what we're talking about is, you know, potentially relatable. And we'll go from there.
TaxAct filing software and live tax experts can help small businesses easily knock out their taxes. Actually, our experts can help you find deductions and credits for any sized business. Itty bitty businesses, medium sized, really big, mid-sized, small businesses, companies with zero employees, and mom-and-pop conglomerates. Yep, our tax experts can help all of them. Tax Act. Let's get them over with.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.